Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Good Friday. Really good Friday to you.
Yeah.
And we have got so much to get to. Some of it straight. Some of it kind of hardcore. Some of it's a lot of fun. Some of it's off the board. It's going to be your prototypical Friday in the jungle. So I would like for you to be a part of it. Let me remind you right off the very top. You are all on the clock. 14 days now. 10 shows until Smack Off 27. And you are running out of time. I've already gone over the rules, the parameters, what you need to do. I think by now you should know. Just know you are running out of time. 14 days, 10 shows until Smack Off 27. Winner gets $5,000 and the right to wear the crown, not for a year, but literally forever.
The Smack Off.
Once you're a champ, you're always introduced as a champ. It's like sports. Once you get into the Hall of Fame, you are always introduced as Hall of Famer, insert. Super Bowl winner, insert. World champion, insert. Smack Off winner, insert name. So you want to keep that in mind. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, then you know Rocket can. All right, so it sets up like this. Quickly, coming up at 40 past, Devon Kennard, a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. That's in hour number one. In hour number two, Chris Herring, a senior NBA writer at SI. In hour number three, the big head, James Kelly. Big head bets. So I'm kind of curious this week, how has it gone for you? I actually hit a couple of winners last night. Man, it feels good to win. Man, it feels like crap to lose. Winning is cool. Losing is crappy.
Winning.
So James Kelly has been working it hard this week for that segment. We'll see exactly what he has. I know he'll have some NBA. He'll have some Major League Baseball. Big UFC card. Speaking of which, Nate Diaz is fighting this weekend. It is not a title fight, but it's a five-round fight. And you could certainly make the argument that anytime Nate Diaz fights, it's a title fight. Either strap or no strap. And I had a conversation with him on episode 177 of the Jim Rome podcast, and I thought it was awesome. So, you know, I'm going to reset that. Plus, Albie's Week That Was and an ATP, and now you are set. That's what the show looks like. 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing right now. And, of course, hit me up on social at Jim Rome. So, the Milwaukee Bucks beat back the Nets 86-83 last night. Actually, the Bucks may have won that game, but in reality, we were all losers. We were all the real losers, because although they won that game and they did what they had to do to win that game, man, that was a terrible game of basketball. That was a brutal game of basketball. That essentially set the sport back about 30 years. It was that brutal. It was that unwatchable. There was only one guy on the floor who was trying to make it better. And I'll get to that legend momentarily. But in the meantime, the rest of them, anybody who had anything to do with that game, owes all of us an apology. Now, let me preface this by saying the Milwaukee Bucks are not going to apologize for anything at all. They had to have that win in the worst way. And ugly wins count as much as the beautiful wins, so they're not giving that one back. But damn, that was ugly. Man, that was a pig. That game fell from the very top of the ugly tree.
You pig.
And hit every branch on the way down.
It got ugly.
And why do I say that? Because it's amazing that a game that involved that many All-Stars, three absolute Hall of Fame locks, that kind of talent, historic talent, all that talent and that game was still that terrible. And it was. The Nets had 11 points in the first quarter. The Bucks had 15 in the second. They went nearly 9 minutes in the second quarter with only 3 points. The two teams combined for 37 in the fourth. Two teams with great players, and neither of them could break 20 points in the fourth quarter. For a three-minute stretch in the fourth, neither team even scored. I mean, ugly. Really ugly. It's not like they were both playing this kind of lockdown defense. It's not like we were watching the Ben Wallace Pistons out there or the Jordan Pippen Rodman Bulls out there. It was just a lot of dudes clanking shots and trying to knock over the backboard. And for a stretch, a bunch of those came from none other than Giannis. I can't believe I'm about to be critical of a guy who went 33-14 in a game his team had to have, but my man took 8 threes, and he made one. He led the Bucks in threes attempted. And the crazy thing is, he actually started the game like this.
Harris fakes, drives, can't finish. The foul from Brown won't go. And here comes Antetokounmpo. Drives hard and throws it down. Well, that's a pretty good statement to start. And a quick 4-0 lead.
Right, exactly. That's how you want to start. That's what you want to see from that guy. You want to see that guy attacking the basket early and often. And in that moment, he had everybody in Nets gear backing up on skates. You see something like that and you think, look the hell out. The freak is going to spend the entire game attacking the rack, beating guys in the paint, punishing anybody who gets in his way. That's how you end up with a 21-point lead in the first quarter. Except that's not how that went. That's not what he did. Too often, he did settle for threes. And no matter how many times he missed, he kept right on firing. And then the Nets kept right on partying because they want that guy to take that shot. They want him to take that mid-range shot, and they want him to take that long-range shot. Every time he took a three, the Nets played off even further. And why the hell not? Until he can make you pay, until he gives you a reason to believe that he's going to knock those shots down, there is no reason to concern yourself with him that far away from the basket. And then that's how you end up blowing most of a 21-point lead in the second quarter. And yes, I know that once Giannis develops a consistent three, it's game over for everybody else in the league. But he doesn't have it right now. Or at least, he didn't have it last night. The guy's made three threes in the series. He's made a total of four in this year's playoffs. Total. Yet, this dude's out there firing away like he's Klay Thompson or something. And again, I'm not here to crack the Bucks. I know they're not going to apologize for last night's game, even though everybody involved owes us an apology. But they're not going to apologize because the playoffs are about one thing, right? Did you win? They did. They accomplished that part of the mission. Essentially unwatchable for the rest of us, but they made it a lot closer than it should have been. Listen, here's the thing about the Bucks. If you're playing a Nets team, on a night when they shoot 36% from the field and 25% from the three, you should smash them up. If their offense has an off night, you better punish them. You better make them pay. And the Bucks didn't. And can I reiterate one more time? This is a huge Giannis house. I love the guy. He's unbelievable. He's one of the most dominant players ever to step on the court. But when he pulls up for 8 threes and he only hits one, he reduces that dominance exponentially. He's making life so much easier for the opposition. He's making life so much easier that the last thing you want to be doing for a team that has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Bruce Brown is making it easier. Yeah, I said it. The last thing you want to do for a team that boasts the likes of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Bruce Brown is make it easier for them. Now, check that. Okay, that's a wild line. The last thing you want to do for a team that boasts the likes of Bruce Brown, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving is make life easier. Hell yes. I just said Bruce Brown in the same breath as KD and Kyrie. Hell yes, I did correct myself and put him first. And Bruce would probably be pissed off about that as well. Unless I put him first, which I did, and I should. See, basketball in an ugly night of basketball. That night, at least there was that one guy who was trying to make history. That one guy trying to go legend. The Nets were up one with under 40 seconds to go, and they had the basketball. A bucket here probably ends the Bucks season, right? So who do you go with? Legends all over the floor. Who do you go with if you want to knock out the Bucks? KD? Kyrie? The Beard? Beard's nowhere to be found. You don't go to KD. You don't go to Kyrie. You go double B, Bruce Brown.
Well, Milwaukee has a foul to give, which could come back to hurt them. Brown misses. Antetokounmpo the rebound. Out to Holiday. 16 seconds remaining.
And deciding not to call a timeout.
Holiday spin move, gets inside. Layup scores! It's good! And the Bucks score by one with 11.4 remaining.
Let me tell you something. I've got no problem with that at all. I have no problem with that at all. I know the Bruce Brown haters are going to say that that guy should not be taking a shot in the final minute of a one-score game when you've got two Hall of Famers on the floor. You're entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong your opinion is. You have three Hall of Famers on the floor in white last night. You just haven't realized it yet. And I'll be damned if Bruce Brown wasn't going to make sure that he got another shot at greatness. So let me ask you again. Down one, with only a few seconds left on the clock, who do you get the ball to? You better get it to Bruce Brown, because he's going to take it away from you if you don't, and then the rest of you stay the hell out of the way.
Almost throws it away, picked up by Irving, struggles with it, back out to Brown. 8 seconds remaining, Brown to the rim, layup, no good, rebound, Tucker, off to Antetokounmpo, and a foul.
I'm telling you, legend. What most fans do not appreciate is how quickly players have to think on the court. You have to consider all the options, and you have to make a split-second decision. And that's exactly what Bruce Brown did. He surveyed the situation. He saw that he had Kevin Durant, one of the most lethal scorers in NBA history, and a two-time Finals MVP on the floor. He also saw that he had Kyrie Irving, the guy who hit one of the most legendary shots in Finals history out there. Bruce Brown saw all of that. And he scanned all of that, and he went through all of that, and he thought to himself, oh, hell no. You guys are old news.
Hell no.
Hell no. This is my time. This is my team. These are the Bruce Brown Nets. KD, Kyrie, you dudes are decoys at this point. I'm drawing this one up for me. Y'all are washed. Man, I love this so much. Oh, and to have the confidence of Bruce Brown in a situation like that, man, I love that too. No, he didn't win the game, but he absolutely redeemed it. This game is now going to be known as the Bruce Brown game. The first 47 minutes were brutal, but the Bucks are not going to apologize for it. And then the last minute was all Brown, and he shouldn't apologize for it either. Man, you do you, legend. You do you. I don't care if the beard comes back or not. Not as long as they have Bruce freaking Brown running the floor and taking the last shot. As long as that dude's out there, man, they got nothing to worry about.
Brown.
No wonder they're not sweating Harden. They got Bruce Brown. Love this guy's act. 1-800-636-8686. Love this guy's act. Hated that game, man. That was so ugly. Seriously, that set the game of basketball back about 30 years. All right, other topics today.
It got ugly.
It was ugly. Somebody hit that game with the ugly bat repeatedly. Like I said, fell out of the ugly tree and hit every single branch on the way down. In addition to this, big head bets coming up in hour number three. And now the dilemma. The dilemma. You want me to talk about the tubes, don't you? You really would like me to weigh in on the tubes. And you know me, I would really like to not weigh in on the tubes. So I have to kind of weigh what it is you want from me versus what it is I'm supposed to give to you, right? Again, if I left this show up to the clones, I would be a clone instead of a host. So clones, just because I haven't referenced it, and even if I don't reference it, does not mean that I'm not aware that Tubes is attempting a triumphant comeback. That this knob was on TV trying to set himself up for, yep, I've gone away and I've learned a lot. And I wrote a book and I'm all about it. All about what, Tool? Anyway, I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it. And don't get your hopes up. Absolutely horrific deal involving the University of Michigan and Bo Schembechler. And Michigan man, save it. Save it. Don't be coming up in here and talking to me about a kid who has an axe to grind with his old man. I mean, this story is so horrific. And there's so many terrible details in it that I'll probably get to it. because we have to talk about it. On top of that, my man, Nate the Great, Nate Diaz, living up to all of the hype yesterday in our podcast. If you heard that and you want to react, go ahead. Utah and LA, I've got thoughts on it, and I will get to it also. So that's how your Friday show is setting up. Just know you're running out of time. You're running out of time in the way of qualifying for the Smack Off. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Devon Kennard coming up at 40 past. So I got a little metaphor for y'all. This is a metaphor for your business journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech solutions that you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel EVO platform, you want to call your advisor today. Dial 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Now, this is awesome. You know what's going on this month, right? Murray AC month. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, if your AC is blowing hot air, you need immediate relief, right? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get up to a $100 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase a Murray AC compressor, accumulator, or dryer expansion device and condenser. Like, there is no need to sweat it when the parts that you need are only a few clicks away at O'ReillyAuto.com. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online, pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to help keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program, which is my favorite. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit is required at the time of the rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, ask about their free loaner tool program, or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. So fire. Do it. All right, so I want to get to my conversation with Nate Diaz, but before I do that, it is Smack Off season. Let's get to the guys who matter most. Let's get to the scab. Actually, he has multiple scabs. He's scabs, plural. Johnny Scabs, in the D. Johnny, what's up?
Jim, hey, why is everyone okay with that skinny little crackhead-looking bitch, Tyler in Edmonton, going back to the well with his fat smack? Tyler looks like a mix between Mick Jagger and Iggy Pop. He's so sick-looking. Homeless people give him clean needles when he's walking down the street. Bro, when you can only eat three green beans before you throw up, it's not a badge of honor. Bro, everyone's looking forward to Matt and Van's profile. I'm thinking somewhere between 11:53 and 11:54 should be enough time. Trying to convince us Matt's funny is like an exotic dancer saying she's just trying to pay for college. Jim, I heard that call from Wells the other day. It was like when someone eats something nasty and tells you you have to try it. Then you try it and it's even worse than you thought. You know, it was great to hear from everyone's favorite punching bag, Matt, in L.A. yesterday. It's probably safe to assume he blew all his stimulus money on Lakers tickets and flat-billed hats. Now he's back in the jungle hoping to knock $5,000 off his child support debt. Until Matt decides if he wants to sweat copper pipes or glass pipes, we can expect these benders to continue. War, Jeff from Richmond having the dirtiest placemat at the table. Wait.
Johnny Scabs. It is Smack Off season, right? This is what goes on during the actual event. Guys call up and they crack each other. If you're not going to be in the event, you're going to call up and crack each other. Scabs. Scabs is always right on that line. All right, so really quickly, with Devon Kennard coming up next segment, I want to talk about Nate Diaz. And I'm not going to lie, right? Yesterday was an amazing day for the side hustle. amazing because episode 177 of the Jim Rome podcast featured one of my favorite dudes ever, Nate Diaz. No, I do not play favorites. They pay me not to play favorites. I've hit this a million times on this show. I don't play favorites. Nate Diaz is one of my favorites. I've been hyping him like that way before we even got together and finally had a conversation. Yesterday, in fact, was the first time he and I ever came together. And if you thought that I had a good Thursday, did you check out Nate's act at the UFC 263 pre-fight presser? Some guys might walk out through a smoke machine. Nate Diaz is his own smoke machine. My man pulled out a bleezy of his own strain. His own strain of Kron, mid-presser on TV, and he burned the entire rainforest down.
Burning.
It was incredible. Now look, I get that it's a different time. I'm here for it. But Nate Diaz turning a media room in Arizona right before a fight into a foggy day in Frisco is beyond just being different, all right? That's beyond it being a different time, and that's beyond him being a different guy. Because Nate is different, and by different, I mean bleeping awesome. Awesome. And that's not just me. A number of his peers look up to and idolize him. Now remember, Nate's got a 5-round fight coming up, a really dangerous fight against Leon Edwards, but it is not a title fight. It's not. Brandon Moreno is fighting for the flyweight title as the co-headliner. He is fighting for a championship, and even he is blown away by how cool Nate is.
This guy is amazing. It's the first time I meet Nate, and he's an amazing person, bro.
This guy's fighting for a championship. This guy's a peer. He's like, hey, man, this is amazing. Like he's a giddy kid. Like, oh, man, he's an amazing person, bro.
This guy is amazing. It's the first time I meet Nate, and he's an amazing person, bro.
Like, he loves him. This is not some fan in the lobby. This is a guy fighting for a belt. He's fighting for a title Saturday night. Nate's not. I can't overstate how utterly awesome that is and how awesome Nate is and how well-respected and admired he is by fellow fighters. But all that happened after Nate guested on my pod. And that all happened after he told this incredible story. I asked him, Nate, when was your first fight? Your first fight, not in the cage. I'm talking about your first fight in life. And he told this amazing story.
I remember my first event.
Your first event. What was your first event? How did that go?
So I got into it with these guys at a baseball field. I was down there hanging out by myself. And if you catch a foul ball, you get a soda. So I was like, somebody hit a foul ball. And I ran up and got the foul ball. And then I was probably a sixth grader. These kids behind me were trying to get the ball too, but I got it first. And I was older than them, and so all these baseball kids were sitting there like, hey, why don't you give those kids the ball? I was like, yeah, f*** you. So I went home, and I got my brother, some of his friends. I was like, yeah, these dudes are tripping at the park. He's like, let's go punk their asses. I was like, all right, let's go. And my friend, my homie, and my brother brought up to these like six guys and were like, yo, what's up? Why are you talking? And it looked like they were just punking him out. And then he comes back. He's like, hey, what's up? This guy wants to fight you. You want to fight him? I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I had to fight this guy for like 20 minutes. It was probably like 5 minutes, but it felt like 20 minutes.
So
I punched him in my head so many times. And I punched him a whole bunch of times, but he hit me in the head a lot. But anyways, my point of that story was talking no shit unless I was going to fight somebody, because I didn't go there planning on fighting the guy. I went there punk him out with my brother and his friend. And then they made me fight him, so that was fun. But that's where it all started.
That's where it all started. It's so good. That is amazing. It was amazing when he told it to me yesterday. And it's an amazing story and playback. Nate Diaz, one of the ultimate warriors, like always ready for a war, getting his start, fighting at a baseball field in sixth grade because the foul ball was his. And because his brother Nick made him throw hands with a kid who tried to steal the foul ball. It's an amazing story. And there's more to that story as to why Nate wanted that soda so badly. But I'm going to save that for you to find on the pod. Now, speaking of fighting itself, this guy's a fighter's fighter. He is the ultimate warrior. but I did ask Nate straight up, do you enjoy fighting at this point?
I wouldn't like to say I like to fight, but I like to accomplish, like, taking out motherfuckers who are, like, supposed to be the baddest motherfuckers. The second you're sitting back not fighting, and then you see somebody taking over the whole game, and I can't sleep with that.
That's a really interesting response. Yeah, like, no, man, I don't love it, but I love what it does for me. And when I'm sitting back and I see somebody else getting over and taking over the game, then I can't sleep at night. So I got to get back in here and remind everybody who I am and what I'm about. I mean, such an interesting, insightful answer. I probably should have hit you with a disclaimer at the top. There is profanity in this podcast from both he and me. So he doesn't love to fight, but he loves to beat the best. And he can't stand watching somebody else taking over the game. Again, really fascinating to hear him lay it out like that. Here's another fascinating angle. Nate Diaz has been a vegan for over a decade and a half, and here's why he does that.
I've been pretty much vegan from when I was about 18 years old, making weight for a fight. And 3 months, I went without eating no meat and no cheese. I wanted it, but by the time I got done with the fight, post-fight, I went out to eat. I remember I got a big old bowl of fettuccine Alfredo, and my boy made a tri-tip. We ate all that, and then I was f***ed up for 3 days. And I was like, dude, I don't need that in my life. I had a headache. I gained weight, and I was, like, bloated and couldn't do for days. So I was like, all right. And then the next fight, that happened again. So each fight camp, I would take 2 months off of eating meat or cheese, and then when I put it back on after about 2 or 3 fights, I was like, I don't need to eat that no more. Me up too bad. It tastes good, but it's not worth it. And my body just works better, runs better without meat or cheese or milk or dairy or any of that.
So good, right? Like the old saying says, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. He just said, without meat and cheese and dairy, my body runs so much better. Except he isn't vegan to stay skinny. He's vegan because his body is his moneymaker and his body runs better without meat and dairy. Like, this entire conversation is amazing and it's really interesting. And he talks about his relationship with his brother Nick. He talked about the negotiation for that first Conor McGregor fight. And he talked about repping Stockton and why triathlons have made him a better fighter. You want to make sure that you give this thing a spin. Then check it out. Check that out, and then check out Nate in the Cage at UFC 263. He's not headlining, but as far as I'm concerned, and as far as he's concerned, anytime Nate fights, that's the headlining event.
Good talking to you. I've been listening to all your interviews and all that, and you're the man.
I'll tell you something, man. Nate ending the interview and unsolicited says to me, I've been listening to you and your interviews and you're the man.
You're the man.
That made me feel good, dude. No, Nate, you're the man. You want to find that. It is kind of profane, but it's awesome. It is awesome. Nate does not show up for a lot of interviews. And then when he does show up for interviews, man, he ain't putting up with any bull crap. Like, he does not suffer fools. If you're going to talk to this guy, you better have things that are interesting to him. And he showed up great for us. Great energy. He was really funny and really anecdotal. Look for it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, JimRome.com, at JimRome on Twitter and IG. And then later on, the Big Head and I will break down the fight and talk about how we think that's going to go for Nate. Nate is a heavy, heavy underdog in that fight. But that's the thing about Nate, right? Nate's been like that before and has worked miraculous things. So we'll see. Remember, he took that fight with Conor McGregor on 12 days or 11 days and won. So you never know with Nate. Never know with Nate. When we come back, Devon Kennard joins us. That story about his first ever fight, that is amazing. This guy was fighting over a foul ball because if you caught the foul ball, you got soda. And these dudes said, hey, man, give me the ball. And he said, F you. Nathan is the best. Time now for a sports update. Here is the latest.
Live.
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so I've been giving away and ripping back golden tickets this week. Just be a part of it. Take a shot. Shoot your shot. I use that phrase because my next guest uses that phrase in its proper context. Meantime, once again, really quickly, 1-800-636-8686. Friday is an ATP day, also known as Ask the Pros. You ask me a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And then you go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question there. Listen later on, and I might answer one of yours or more than one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, one thing about the Nate Diaz segment that I did, I can't begin to do justice to Nate in playing back some of that interview. It just doesn't. I mean, a lot of these guys, it's a good teaser and it's a good taste of what that actual podcast is like. But Nate is so different. And by so different, I mean so cool and so real and so authentic. This is why people love this guy so much. Nate has not fought in a year and a half. Nate's brother Nick has not fought in 6 years. And yet their star is still so bright collectively. People love these guys. Love these guys. I would even argue, and I'm not saying that Nate is going to lose this weekend, although the odds makers all think that Nate is going to lose. And Nate's response to that was great. Like, they went to a bunch of fighters and people in the game and said, hey, what do you think is going to happen to Nate? And almost unequivocally, every single one of them said, hey, listen, I love Nate. I love Nate, but, and they all had a but. And everybody that they asked effectively said, I love Nate, but Leon Edwards is just too much. He's too athletic. He's too skilled. He's too gifted. He's too strong. He's too young. He's too fast. He's too multifaceted. And then somebody then ran it back to Nate and said, hey, Nate, what do you make of that? What do you make of all these people who are saying you're going to lose? And I'm paraphrasing now, but he was asked the question, what do you have to say to them? And his response was, well, and I quote, F you. Like, bleep you if you think I'm going to lose. Man, just the most real of the real. And this is why everybody loves Nate, because he's so authentic. I can't get enough of the guy. I honestly, and I've said this before, it's only a few times a year that I get that hyped to have a conversation with somebody. I mean, again, and I always correct myself when I say that. I'm really excited to talk to anybody who's excited to talk to me, right? People have to decide what to do with their time. They have to decide where they want to go, what platform they want to show up. It's not like it was back in the day when there were three or four shows. There are a million different places where people can show up. So if somebody says, yeah, you know what, Rome, I like that show. I like that guy. I want to do that show. That means the world to me. But then above and beyond that, there's just a few times a year where I feel like stakes are really high. And this is a great opportunity, and I've been wanting to talk to that guy or that gal for a long time. Yesterday was one of those times with Nate, and it lived up to all the hype. Man, I loved it. All right, so this guy's been a topic of conversation of late. Matt in Van. He's been invited to the Smack Off in the past. It has not gone exceptionally well, but he's got game. You know, you just have to find a way to make that game travel. It's got to show up the day that it matters most. Let's find out what's going on. What's going on with you, Matt? What's up?
What up, brother? You know how I get down, making cash and crushing ace. Hey, man, if we're really going to get the player with the dirtiest undies in the game, Jeff from Richmond in Smack Off 27, you need to send a couple of your assistants down, rent one of those crane trucks they use to move whales and Americans, and smash a Volkswagen-sized hole in this fat ass's wall and free him like one of those half-ton freaks you see on Discovery Channel. And hey, the reason I'm ahead of Cal in Vegas in the Stucknut Smack-Off odds, Rome, is because this twerp made the mistake of posting pictures of himself on Twitter. Now all the jungle can see plain as day that Cal has the belly of an 8-month pregnant woman and the body of a malnourished child. And hell, Rome, I know I'm the bad guy, I'm the villain. I've barely shown up on Smack-Off days, but you know what? 100% of the clones would rather hear a pissed off Canadian go full Kwame Brown during the Smack Off than hear another, quote, legend giving us all a sanctimonious, self-righteous lecture for daring to put some time and effort into something legendary for the smack-off. So shut up, Iafredi. Shut up and go away and take Silk and your disgusting man breasts with you. Peace, Rome.
Peace. I'll see you the day of, Matt. You're in. Yeah, I'm not here to hate that guy at all. I like Matt. I've always liked Matt. And why do I like Matt for the last time? Because he makes it better. Matt makes it better. He said they ought to get a crane that they use to move whales and Americans. I don't know. That shtick from him and Tyler about us all being fat. One, it's true. And two, it's pretty funny. Matt, you're in, bro. I'll see you in 14 days. Now, being in is not guaranteed you'll do well. You've proven that time and time again. However, this might be your year. This might be your time. 14 days, 10 shows until Smack-Off 27. We have Canadian representation. You know what we don't have? Female representation. And I want that badly. I would love for a lady clone to work her way in. However, I'm not going to give you a golden ticket or invite you just so I can say there's female representation. You have to earn your way in. You have to play your way in. I'm just saying it would be so much better if one of you did or two of you did. I'm shouting out, Lady Clone Nation, rise up, rip a ticket, take part. It's been done before. Who will ever forget Rachel from Houston and the fire she used to spit? Her smack was as strong as almost any of the guys. She definitely had the best manual buzzer that any caller ever had.
Well, the Rockets are in the second round. The godfather of the NBA, Greg Oden, and your boys are at home. Man's game, bitch.
She was good. She was really, really good. And then that one time we tried to loop together her manual buzzer, I felt like I was at a NASCAR event. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that doesn't sound like we're at Talladega. If you have never been to the Daytona 500, when they're racing and rubbing, it sounds like this. I went to the Brickyard once, and I sat up there. You know, that famous day where I started the race, and I walked down that catwalk with the drivers and lost my wedding band and then found it. And then I took my spot in its rightful place, and I did not break the pace car. However, this is exactly what it sounded like. How about that? Do we have time? Hey, Avi, if you have time, speed it up if you have to. We have a Smack-Off promo. Alvin, let it rip.
Seven.
Where were you in 1995? JT the Brick ripped the initial crown.
The greatest city, the deepest tradition, and the best smack comes from New York and the Brick.
Where were you in the year 2000 when Doc Mike became the first ever two-time champ?
Other children. Dude, Eight is Enough was only a TV show. And put your back where it belongs and mix in a contraceptive.
Where were you in 2010 when Vic and NoCal officially became Broadway?
I'm the single most influential force in the jungle in the past 20 years. Everywhere you look in the jungle, you see my influence.
Where were you in 2014 when Mike and Indy and Chael Sonnen split the title?
If I tell you the moon is made of cheese, you can get you some crackers.
What if I tell you two of America's most wanted are in the same mother place at the same mother time?
In 2015, where were you when Lef and Laguna went household buzzing my tower?
Jim, that blue chopper right outside the window, that's me. Riding Shotgun's Randall, he washed your windows 4 weeks ago.
Where were you in 2016 when Brad in Corona committed jungle suicide?
Okay, so Najee Davenport, Peppermint Patty, and an uncircumcised Euro walk into a laundromat.
Smack-Off 27, Friday, June 25th, 2021. If you win it, you get $5,000 and you're a legend. It's go time. It is now officially Smack-Off season.
I created Smack-Off season.
Cal in Vegas.
I have to go. I got an elevator full of women coming up here to see me. The Smack-Off on the 3 minute man, but in the bedroom, I'm all night.
Benny in Wisco.
Does Jeff in Southfield just look around his apartment and write a script based on what he sees?
Softball.
speaking bitch.
Left.
I hate Brad and Corona so much. I hope he has a heart attack next time he plays charades.
I'm all ears.
Johnny, my biggest concern, whoever was staying in that hotel room below yours, wondering if the bed Big Sean is making love on is going to come crashing through the ceiling like you're the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah. Get up in here, rip your golden ticket.
In a custom fit 4XL Tommy Bahama.
It's a dynasty clone!
Clean my toilet, son.
I got to get down to 440 or they're going to turn me away.
You impregnated a sock to the point where it got up that thank you for my life.
I'd like to really, my dog's barking.
Hey, Paul's dog, you need to grow up here.
I gave you a date.
Clean it up, Jeremy.
Whoopee.
You need to reinvent yourself as a decent caller.
Come on.
The Smack Off 27.
Put more effort in, loser.
The tradition continues.
Yeah. Dude, that guy gets more ass than Kelly Clarkson's Lazy Boy.
Friday, June 25th.
Time to die.
Come get some, you bitches.
Go time. Get at it. Can't wait. That was not even the entire promo. There's more where that came from. But that gives you a sense of what you're going to hear. 14 days, 10 shows, the best of the best, the most important day of the year. 27 smack-offs. If you had said to me on smack-off number one that I would still be doing these things 27 years later, I would have called you a liar. Hour number two next.